This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He's now with the American Enterprise Institute, and we've asked him to offer his expertise today on what the president calls the number one national security priority for this country right now, and he says that is Senate ratification of the latest version of the START Treaty. Time permitting, we'll also get the ambassador's thoughts on the civilian trial verdict for Ahmed Gilani, a former Gitmo detainee who was accused of being part of the plot to blow up the East African U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania 12 years ago, but was acquitted on all but one of 284 charges. And Mr. Ambassador, it's always great to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, the president is launching a pretty significant PR push for the START Treaty here. Here's what he had to say on Thursday.
There is no higher national security priority for the lame duck session of Congress. This is not about politics. It's about national security. This is not a matter that can be delayed.
And, of course, the number two Republican in the Senate, John Kyle, says there's not time for that this year. And even if there would be, it still takes two-thirds, so he would need some Republican help. What do you make of the president's push and the quality of this agreement?
Well, I think the good news is the president has apparently woken up to what happened at the November 2nd election, because with the coming of six new Republican senators to the Senate in January, the chances of this treaty being ratified ever have diminished significantly. So we're in the ram and jam mode, as Olympia Snow of Maine has called it, to try and get this through in the lame duck session. I agree with the president. This is a national security matter and a very important one, which is precisely why this treaty deserves to be defeated and why Republicans, including the incoming freshmen, by the way, 10 or 11 of whom signed a letter released today saying that they wanted the whole matter held over until January. You know, if this treaty is so desirable on its merits, waiting another couple of months and getting answers to the many unanswered questions that senators have can't be a bad thing. It's only if the administration realizes how weak the case is for the ratification of this treaty that they're pressing so hard now in the lame duck.
What bothers you most about the treaty? Obviously, this relates to the nuclear stockpiles of the U.S. and Russia. What about this agreement do you believe is either unfair to the United States or just not good for our national security?
Well, it's a bad treaty, a poorly negotiated treaty across a wide range of issues. You know, it has a surface equality of nuclear weapons for both Russia and the United States, but that masks the fact that our nuclear arsenal is aging, and we worry about declines in its safety and reliability at the very time the Russians are embarked in a substantial effort to upgrade and modernize their nuclear and ballistic missile forces. And in any event, even though the limits appear to are the same for both countries, that masks the huge difference in global responsibilities. The United States has a nuclear umbrella over our friends and allies in Europe, in Asia Pacific, all around the world. The Russians don't have any comparable need for. So just on its basic aim of lowering the levels of nuclear weapons, it's very detrimental to the United States. We're already at small levels, and when you go even lower, it just increases the risk. It also contains a political hook that I think would prevent us from deploying an effective national missile defense system. It's very cleverly done. It's not in explicit terms in the treaty, but the clear impact of the negotiations the Obama administration had with the Russians was to make it clear that if Obama proceeds with national missile defense, the Russians will withdraw from the treaty. And since the president obviously thinks the treaty is the greatest thing since sliced bread, the odds of him proceeding with national missile defense are close to zero. And that just scratches the surface of what's wrong with this thing.
Mr. Ambassador, in terms of the impact that this might have on the situation with Iran, is there any way to read into here how this could have a positive or negative impact given the relationship the Russians have with Iran?
Well, you know, part of the theory underlying the president's view of this treaty is that the closer we get to nuclear zero, the safer the world will be. In fact, the lower the U.S. arsenal at what are already low levels, the greater the threat we and our friends and allies face from rogue states like North Korea, which already has nuclear weapons, or like Iran, which is very, very close to achieving them. People see this, I think, our adversaries particularly, as an indication of a weakening United States, of a very weak administration in office. And it actually has on them the exactly the opposite effect from what President Obama thinks it will have. He thinks it will cause them to say, oh, well, gee, if the United States has fewer nuclear weapons, maybe we don't need nuclear weapons. In fact, it encourages countries like Iran to say, if the U.S. is going down, this just shows how much better off we'll be if we get a nuclear weapons capability.
Some critics of the START Treaty, Mr. Ambassador, have suggested that it's a relic of the Cold War, and not only is this not a good one, we don't really need one at all. Others say it just needs to be written and done in a way that's more beneficial to us. What's your read?
Well, you know, we've already got a treaty in place that carries us through 2012, a little bit over about a year and a half away. And, you know, there is plenty of time to renegotiate the new START treaty that the president has submitted to the Senate and see if there's room for improvement. I think, again, the fact that they're so desperate to get it approved in such a rush shows, I think, they're really concerned that they appreciate they have a weak case and that they're afraid of greater public scrutiny of the implications of this treaty if it's ratified.
A couple minutes left with former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. And in addition to his time serving this nation at the U.N., he's also spent time in the Justice Department and the State Department. And so we want to get your thoughts real quickly, sir, on the verdict that came down on Wednesday against Ahmed Gilani. Only one guilty count out of 284 counts. Basically convicted of providing aid to terrorists, but no convictions related to the killings involved in the 1998 bombings of the embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. A lot of observers of the trial say one of the reasons that that happened is because the judge refused to allow information that was obtained under enhanced interrogation techniques. This is obviously firing up the debate again over civilian trials for these detainees. What's the lesson as you see it?
Well, I think this is a catastrophe for those who believe we can protect ourselves against international terrorism by trying them in criminal justice system techniques in the United States. To get only one conviction and to risk having evidence excluded the way it was here shows, again, why these terrorist attacks are not crimes like robbing a bank. This is not the kind of model we should be following. These attacks are attacks on the United States, and they are, although not conducted by people in uniforms who goose-step in parades, these are attacks on the United States that should be treated as acts of war. And the perpetrators of those acts, like Gilani, like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, should be treated at a minimum as prisoners of war, but also as war criminals and tried, if they're going to be tried at all, in military tribunals. We're now going to face the anomaly that this guy's freed on all but one count, and yet we're obviously going to have to continue to hold him in Gitmo, even when his civil justice system sentence runs out. So I think it's a very important new fact in the debate over how to handle the terrorists, and I hope it reinforces why looking at this through the laws of war rather than through the laws of the criminal justice system within the United States is clearly the better way to go.
Exit question, last 30 seconds here. Doesn't seem as though some of the administration officials have interpreted it that way. Mostly the reaction today has been, well, we got him on this one. He's in jail for at least 20 years, probably longer, so this was a success.
Yeah, there's an unnamed administration official making that point. I think that shows him up to be one of the most incompetent of the senior officials out there. If he's so confident he knows what he's talking about, he ought to put his name out in public. Again, the administration really very ideological here and pursuing a path of great risk for the United States.
Mr. Ambassador, two very critical issues. Thanks for your input today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.